So that makes it a little bit easier to navigate. But yeah, just call me whenever it's convenient for you tomorrow. Let me check my schedule while we're looking, just so I make sure I don't have any conflicts. I'm actually available anytime tomorrow, so just call me whenever it's convenient for you.
Okay, I'll call early because I wouldn't mind like getting a little handle on it before I went to the facility.
Yeah, that's no problem. I really don't have anything scheduled until tomorrow afternoon. I'm doing some education with a facility in California, but it's not until the afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hi, Dr. Cardan.
Hi,
Hi.
Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but now it's asking me for my password and I'm in a quandary.
For what? A
You can
Prima
hear
or
me.
I can
Yeah,
hear
I can
you.
hear you. So,
I can see you too.
oh, you can? I can't see you.
I don't turn my computer on. Nobody needs to see me at almost 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Hi, Brittany. Hi, Mr. Cordy. Hi, Dr. Deledesma. Hi, Dr. Adib.
Oh, good evening.
Hello, everybody. It's Mark Hendrickson.
Hi,
Hi,
Dr.
Dr. Hendrickson.
Hendrickson.
Evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Dr. Miller joined. How you doing, Dr. Miller?
All right, why don't we go ahead and get started? Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. I know for some it's a holiday, and attendance may be less than usual. Milt is on holiday, so he is not going to be part of the call tonight. We've got a few agenda things to go over, and then we'll talk about the article that was distributed. So Melissa, I will turn it over to you for your agenda items.
Certainly. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We do have some new providers on, so welcome everybody that's new to the company. We're certainly glad to have everybody. Just a couple items from me. We are continuing to send out MIPS, so please address them as soon as possible for all the new providers. We'll continue to contact you and explain that process. For all of our existing providers, if you are non-compliant and do not participate in MIPS, Milt and Ross are discussing possible financial penalties that will be associated with your non-compliance and your inability or unwillingness to participate in MIPS. Because unfortunately, we are required to participate in MIPS as a company, and we will be penalized if we don't meet a certain threshold. So as we continue to send out MIPS, it's very important and it's vital that you guys gather the information that we're requesting of you. The other thing that you'll be seeing from me are emails coming out about education, yearly education, and ongoing education. I sent the first round of emails out. Thank you to everybody that's already set some times for this education with me. So everybody else, continue to look out for an email to schedule time with me. That's pretty much all I have.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
One thing I want to add about MIPS, something that Milt has kind of shared with me, is that, for the 2023 year, we were kind of at a neutral position. We were neither penalized nor receive the bonus. However, we could have been in the bonus territory, and that really came down to literally one individual who had not done their share of some of the requirements. So it really is a team effort. It is one of those things where one person can literally spoil it for the practice. And so instead of everybody having an increased fee schedule and, bonus payments, now we're kind of at the neutral point. So, we hope to turn that around for this coming year. So really please do make sure that you do what Wound Education has asked. I know on a lot of the audit reports, you are starting to see some of those MIPS requirements being described for you. So really please do your best to get that information. Any questions about any of the things that Melissa discussed? All right, then. I also want to mention that you all should have received a new bedside procedure policy. This was sent out a couple weeks ago, really just to try to standardize how procedures are performed. Those of you who have a surgical background, in the operating room, things are typically done in a very sequential order with certain things that are always part of the procedure, regardless of the type of procedure. So, wanted to make sure that people are doing things with safety in mind. That includes the use of personal protective equipment. We don't want anybody getting hurt or injured from any sort of procedure. So please make sure that you have reviewed and signed that. I do have a list from Lauren. For those individuals who have not returned that back. If you have any questions, please reach out to me so that we can discuss it. Otherwise, I will be reaching out to those folks to check on the status of that. Any questions about the bedside procedures? All right. The next thing I wanted to bring to everybody's attention, you should have received an email not too long ago. We do have a new biologics coordinator, Haley. She will ultimately be in charge of, the entire biologics process, from helping you with any sort of, clinical issues, but with also with the IVR process and ordering and all of those types of things. She did send out an introductory email. If you did not receive that, please let me know so that I can make sure that she is able to contact you and vice versa. So also please make sure that you're including her on any sort of correspondence, whether that is IVR, whether it's orders, those types of things, so that she is involved in that process. The other thing that I do want to remind everybody as we kind of enter into the warmer months here. If you do have biologics that you are applying later in the day or at a later in the day facility, please do not leave those products in your car. We all know how hot the inside of a car can get, especially in the summer heat. Those grafts do need to be stored at room temperature. We don't want anything happening to those grafts. Obviously, they're extremely expensive. And we want the best outcome for those patients that are going to be getting that. So, if you are applying them later in the day, it might be a good idea to take those inside with you as you round at other places before you're ready to apply those. Any questions about any of that? Very good then. So the last thing to cover is our article. I chose an article about burns just so that we can kind of review some basic things about burns. I know it is something that's kind of discussed in education, but at least in my practice, it kind of pops up every once in a while. Usually somebody has some sort of a scald burn or perhaps a cigarette burn. So I thought it might be helpful and useful to kind of review some elements about that. So hopefully everybody's had a chance to review the article and the list of questions. We can just briefly go through the list of questions, and I would prefer if we could have a volunteer to answer, and we'll just kind of go around and everybody take a question or so, and we can discuss any questions or concerns that anybody has. So, question number one, describe the level of tissue involvement for the various degrees of burn injury.
I'll take that one. So the
Sure.
first degree is just the epidermis. Second degree gets into the dermis, and but there's gradations of that. And then third degree gets to the subcutaneous, and fourth degree below the subcutaneous.
Right. So generally, with the fourth degree, you have burn all the way through, and you have some sort of burn to a deeper structure. I always like to think of burns very analogous to pressure staging. There's a lot of similarities in how things are staged and the classification for burns. Next question, or I should say next statement, list the three stages for burn wound healing.
I'll go ahead and answer that one. I have inflammation, granulation, tissue formation, and remodeling.
Yes. Thank
Here.
you, Dr. Bellows, as well.
Here.
What factor is responsible for stimulation of capillaries to create new branches and loops?
VEGF.
Yes.
Vascular and factor.
I'm sorry.
Vascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF.
Yes, that's correct. What is the minimum percentage total body surface area burn that is typically associated with extensive systemic inflammation and multi-organ dysfunction?
Can't it be as low as 2% if it's
I
a
guess
deep
it could be
burn?
depending on the severity and where it may be. I believe in the article they said that roughly 15% is kind of the that cutoff mark. True or false? Burn patients are more susceptible to developing other nosocomial infections such as UTI, pneumonia, and/or bloodstream infections.
True.
That is correct. There's kind of a generalized susceptibility to infections just because you're kind of stressing the immune response and the immune system, so all of those become much more common. What modalities are the key to effective cleansing of a wound?
Removal of dead tissue.
Yes. Want to remove any sort of dead tissue, whether that's through surgical debridement most of the time, or wound dressings, things like hydrogel, hydrocolloids, hydrofibers, they can all be used to kind of assist with that. What are some benefits to using hydrogel dressings for burns? I'll go ahead and answer this one. These dressings, hydrogel dressings, can basically be applied anywhere on the body. They do have cooling and wound covering functions. You have a variety of sizes, and it can be used to remove heat through convection and evaporation. Some of the products also can be enriched with anesthetic as well as anti-inflammatory properties. List some of the benefits for using honey-based dressings for burn wounds.
Antibacterial, and then
Yes.
it doesn't stick to the burn or something like that.
I'm sorry.
I mean, they said something that doesn't stick to the burn, like maybe the way some other dressings would.
Correct. You know, it I guess whether or not you have the gel or the wafer form, it tends to be you know, a little bit more, I guess, dissolves kind of into the wound, so it tends not to adhere as much to you know, that underlying wound surface.
You get more with honey.
I'm sorry.
It was a bad joke. You get more with honey, is all I was saying.
That
is funny.
All right. The last question, what makes Atlantic cod an ideal resource for xenografts?
It has collagen.
It does have collagen, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's less reactive. There's a blunted immune response to the fish grafts versus cadaveric and pigskin grafts. You know, that's one of the things that there's less likely for host rejection and those types of reactions. And it seems to have a pretty good healing rate compared to some of the other grafts that make it ideal. So those were some of the things that I wanted to make sure that everybody got from the article. Is there any questions about the article or about anything else that we've discussed this evening?
Oh, I had a question.
Sure.
I have a peeve, and my peeve is the names are not alphabetized on our lists. So if you want to look for a patient, you have to page through 30 names to get to where they are, and they get mixed up. It's like they go somewhere.
With
Oh, that's
the
turn off.
new appendix, there's a search tab you can use.
Oh, great.
You just put in
So
part of the
we can just
last
type the
name.
patient's name in and that will find it.
Exactly.
Okay, that's awesome.
Quite nice. Yeah.
Yes, that's the function that I was telling Dr. Johnston about in the new upgrade.
Great.
And also, if you're the type where you tend to open up all of your notes at once and kind of leave them as incomplete, there's also a function on the incomplete side of the or I should say the incomplete column. There is usually a function at the very bottom where you can open up the roster and it'll bring up the entire roster list in a much more condensed space that you can find those patients a lot quicker than having to kind of scroll up and down
Oh, cool.
on that
That's what
window.
I'm interested in. That's great.
And we'll still be able to see him by facility.
Yes, they will still have the facility name as a way to kind of sort out your patients.
Well, thank you for that. That's going to help.
Absolutely. Any other questions?
Somewhat completely, maybe a little bit left field, but I was, I'm not sure if this got pushed up, but I was wondering if there's a way for some, like a API or some sort of scanner in the EMR. I know this is saying something relatively, I'm not sure if it's a functionality that's possible, but to scan for wounds that have remained the same or stable for at least 3 visits, because that would probably help us and flag those wounds, because it would help us determine whether or not biologics may be indicated at that time.
You know, we have in the past talked about somehow having a counter, you know, with the same stable. It is something that with the current version of Aprima, it's not really possible. When you do have a note open, on the left-hand column of the screen, it should list all of your previous visits. I understand it is a little bit cumbersome and it is a little bit, kind of laborious to kind of click on it, but you can kind of click on your previous notes in the format of how the wound assessment form is. And so you can go back and check that way to see how many weeks in a row you may have had a particular wound as same stable. So that's one way to do it rather than to kind of go through the, review old notes tab. That's what I tend to do. I don't know if anybody else has a different system or way of doing that, or Melissa, I'm not sure if you have any other recommendations for that.
Actually, I, Dr. Who, I actually saw your email to Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
We currently have a report that the clinical team uses that identifies wounds that have declined and same stables for 3 weeks that have not currently been addressed. So I'm working with Haley, the new biologics coordinator. She's going to use a version of that report to help identify wounds and reach out to the providers. To provide a list to you guys to help identify wounds from that a version of our clinical report.
Oh, perfect.
So it's not as labor intensive for you guys, and to give you guys kind of a list to work off of. So she'll just reach out to you guys and say, John Doe, Jane Doe, these are potential candidates for you. Maybe take a look at them the next time you visit the building, and it'll kind of shorten and condense your list, and then you guys can identify people that way. And hopefully that'll work.
Yeah, I'll look forward to it.
And again, just to kind of bring up some, since you brought up the criteria for biologics, understand that the criteria is not always just for a stalled wound or a declining wound. You can also have healing wounds if they're not healing fast enough. And so generally, what has been described is that a wound that has not reduced in area by about 50% at the 4 week mark, those would qualify as well. Where that becomes a little bit difficult and challenging are wounds that have started outside of the patient's admission to the facility. So in those cases, it does take a little bit of extra work to kind of go back and, do some chart diving to find out when those wounds actually did first originate, and to look at the progress of healing from the onset to the actual 4 week mark. In those cases, if it hasn't reduced by 50%, then those would also qualify. But that's something that you would want to make sure that you include in your documentation. Because if your onset date is consistent with the facility and you're using the patient's admission to the facility as the date of onset, then, if that note were to get somehow audited for, biologics use, we would want to know that that onset date was actually earlier and we have, documentation to, support its need. Does anybody have any other questions? All right. Well, I will thank you all for joining us this evening. If anything does come up, feel free to reach out and have a great evening. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. You
Thank
too.
You.
Thank
Good
you.
night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night. Dr. Karamadi, this is Dr. Lin. I had joined late. I just want to make sure I was listed.
I got you,
I
Dr.
did.
Lin.
Yep,
I
I
got you,
got
Dr.
it.
Lin
Okay,
and
thank
Dr.
you. Okay.
Fishman. I saw you both join.
Yeah, okay. So, well, good night, guys.
Good
Bye.
night.